The federal government says it will pay more than $1 billion to settle a class action lawsuit brought by tribes over mismanagement of trust funds. The settlement, announced jointly by the Justice Department and the Interior Department, resolves claims brought by 41 tribes from across the country. The Interior Department manages about 2,500 tribal trust accounts for more than 250 tribes, including leases for oil and gas and grazing rights. Dozens of tribes have filed suit in recent years claiming the accounts have been mismanaged. The agreement announced yesterday is in addition to the $3.4 billion settlement in a class action lawsuit brought by the late Eloise Cobell of Browning, Montana. That deal settled cases brought by 500,000 individual Indians and Native Americans over the government's mismanagement of trust lands. A National Transportation Safety Board investigator says a pilot may not have followed flight rules before his airplane crashed on a Douglas Island mountain, killing him and his wife last summer. Charles Luck and Liping Tang Luck died on a very cloudy and foggy July 24th on a flight from Hoonah to Juneau. The report filed by NTSB investigator Clint Johnson indicates that Charles Luck appeared to be in a hurry to reach Juneau so that his wife could catch a flight to Anchorage. She had missed boarding the day before. The report says there's no indication Luck may not have There's also an indication that Luck may not have followed visual flight plan rules that required him to stay at least a mile away from clouds. The five-member National Transportation Safety Board will use the report in its final determination on the probable cause of the crash. An 18-year-old Ketchikan High School student remains jailed on charges of making terroristic threats at the school. Ferris Hayward was overheard making threats Monday morning. Police were notified, and after learning Hayward had left the high school in Ketchikan, officers contacted him at his home. Police Chief Alan Bengard says no weapons were found at the home. Hayward is charged with felony terroristic threatening. His bail has been set at $5,000. Ken Nalen has been acquitted of assault. After only an hour and a half of deliberations yesterday, the jury returned with a verdict.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Kenneth Nalen, not guilty of assault in the first degree.
Nalen's friends and family broke down in relief when the verdict was read by the jury foreman. Nalen was charged for first-degree assault in connection with the shooting of John Duran last December. He took the stand in his own defense to tell how he saw Duran approaching with the gun and reached for it. He says the revolver went off as he grabbed it and twisted it around out of Duran's hands. Duran said he was essentially facing a different direction and playing guitar as Nalen entered the bedroom and then shot him. Outside the courtroom, an emotional Nalen really only had a two-word comment, which was echoed by his wife, Angela.
Thank God that they saw the evidence for what it was, and my children, I did not want them to be here if they didn't see it for what it was, and they did. Thank God.
Nalen's children were allowed into the courtroom only after the verdict was announced. Jurors say their deliberations of an hour and a half included lunch. One juror, who preferred not to have his name published or broadcast, pointed to a lack of evidence and plenty of reasonable doubt.
So I was quite concerned my whole time that everyone else was thinking in similar ways that I were, and I think it was a really good group that I thought took it very much seriously, and we all came to the same conclusions, I think, about whether or not the state had enough evidence to follow through with the charge that they had charged Mr. Nalen on.
In this case, victim John Duran and friend John Day were really too drunk to remember what really happened that night. That's based on stipulated evidence of blood alcohol content from blood drawn from the 269-pound Duran that night that indicated at least over twice the legal definition of intoxication. It was also Day's own admission about being blackout drunk. Another juror, who also preferred not to be publicly identified, questioned the credibility of the prosecution's witnesses. Among other things, she noted witness Day's changing recollections whenever victim John Duran was in the courtroom. She also says she sensed a consensus among the jury early on, despite a concerted effort by everyone to play devil's advocate to elicit at least some sort of debate.
I guess I can only speak for myself. It seemed like there was no evidence that he was reckless. I mean, because there were three definitions of the charge, and two of them were uncontested. What we had to decide is if he was reckless. And so we talked about that and the definitions and very quickly decided that there was no proof that he was reckless. It was pretty simple.
Coincidentally, Nayland's family and friends walked down the street behind the courthouse just as the few jurors discharged from the building remained to talk to reporters. Still quite emotional, the Nayland group gave the remaining jurors a hug and said thank you. Jurors eventually hearing over 6 days of evidence and arguments. An Air Force general has visited Eielson Air Force Base and says it's his job to decide how the base's squadron of F-16s will be transferred to Anchorage next year. Brigadier General Mark M. McLeod is from Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii and made visits to both Eielson and Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage this week. McLeod says the Air Force proposes moving the fighters for strategic reasons and because the move could potentially help the Air Force cut as many as 81 jobs. McLeod is preparing a report due May 31st on how the Air Force should go about moving 21 fighters and 542 associated airmen. He says moving the F-16s is, he says if moving the F-16s is not feasible, his report will reflect that. State Representative Sharon Cisna has filed her intent to run for the U.S. House against Don Young. The Democrat has represented what's known as the UMed district in Anchorage for 14 years, and she made national headlines last year for refusing an airport security pat-down. Cisna says she wants to take her fight against the Transportation Security Administration to Washington. While she says she and Young agree that TSA is doing, quote, a terrible job,
has not gone after them, and that's his job.
Young is seeking his 21st term in Congress, and no Democrat has come close to beating him. While that will be challenging enough for the 70-year-old Cisna, campaign travel will also be difficult. She has shunned air travel, where she must go through TSA checkpoints. And Cisna says she and her husband plan to travel the state by car and motorhome, the ferry system, and maybe even small airplanes. Cisna filed her paperwork yesterday at the Alaska Public Offices Commission in Juneau. Anchorage Democrat Garen Tarr has filed to run for Cisna's seat. Sarah Palin's Political Action Committee spent more money than it raised during the first 3 months of the year. According to a filing Wednesday with the Federal Election Commission, Palin's Sarah PAC raised about $386,400 from January through March and spent about $418,000. The contribution level is among the lowest reported by the PAC in a quarterly filing. Much of the money raised went toward consultants plus fundraising and compliance. No money was given to candidates. The report also shows about $4,500 for a deposit for space at the Channelside Bay Mall in Tampa, Florida, and about $19,000 for video creation. There were no immediate details on the reserved space at the mall. The Republican National Convention is planned for Tampa this summer.